the social media content reposted by the Republican nominee in the last 36 hours. How do you explain it? How do you explain why he is reposting content from QAnon and this misogynistic content?
Again, I will say I have not spoken to President Trump about that content this morning, and I don't think Americans are concerned with social media posts.
Hey guys, Rich coming to you here with Leaving MAGA on the Midas Touch Network. We have for you another family and friend video for you today, a testimonial. I just want to say thank you to all of you out there who are reaching out to us in the comments section. Be sure to subscribe to Midas Touch Network for our Leaving MAGA videos. Getting in touch with us after watching our testimonials, not just of those who have left MAGA, but friends and family, and are coming to us saying, I want to tell a story. I have a story. I want to give a testimonial. I think there's just something really cathartic about an opportunity for people to tell a story that maybe they've had bottled up for quite some time. And we keep putting on our socials, hey, if there's anyone out there who wants to speak with us, please let us know. We're happy to have a conversation and give you a chance to talk about your life pre and post MAGA. So I want to bring someone in who did reach out to us after I put on our socials about wanting to speak with everyone out there. Her name is Erin Stinchula. I think I said that correct. Let me bring her in here. She's gonna correct us on her name later on. So Erin, thank you so much for being here. I put out there on my socials, hey, anyone out there with friends or family in MAGA, you feel like your relationship has adversely changed, you're looking to try to find some reconciliation with friends and loved ones, we want to hear from you. And you reached out to us and we had a chance to speak privately. You know, I want to ask you about your relationship you mentioned with your brother. And as we start here, first off, it takes a lot of bravery to do this. I'm not really a believer in fearlessness. We all have fear, but we have to muster up the courage. And you being here, I think, makes you a very strong, intrepid woman. So we appreciate that. It means a lot for you to be here with us. So tell me about your brother, your relationship with him before MAGA. What was it like? What's he like? And what was that dynamic like before Trump came along?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for this opportunity. I greatly appreciate it, Rich. My brother and I are 2.5 years apart. We grew up in suburban Ohio and I looked up to him greatly. I'll never forget. There was a moment when I was probably 9 and our bedrooms face each other and we were getting ready to go to sleep. And he said to me from across the hallway, just think, right now is the only time that it's going to be 6:11 on this day. And I thought to myself, he is the smartest person I know. He just gets it and is such a big thinker about life. And he is. But in recent years, it's unfortunately that thirst for looking for the big picture and what's out there and what there is to see has been taken over by MAGA and QAnon. It started with the flat earth theory and conspiracy theories. And then it just started leaking into political theories and the Facebook posts started getting more and more in line with MAGA. And then they started lining up perfectly with MAGA. And I remember the first day that they blatantly said Trump 2024. I just thought to myself, here it is. It's real. This is not him dipping his toes into conspiracy theories anymore. This is straight up bought into MAGA, and it has only gotten deeper and deeper. Just constantly on YouTube, and I don't even know what other social media forums. But man, when those marching orders come out with what the right wants him to think, he is hook, line, and sinker on it, and it's the truth, and there's no debate, and there's just no going back from whatever they are telling him in the media that he is consuming. And it has been very difficult to watch someone who I know is an incredibly smart person just exist in a different reality. There's no other way to say it. It's a different reality.
So thank you for sharing that, because there's something I want to hone in on for a moment. And I think this is really so important to these videos we do and the work of Leaving MAGA in our collaboration with Midas Touch, is that there is this, I think it's fair to say, it's a pretty pervasive belief amongst a lot of people who are very anti-MAGA, anti-Trump. And I understand those very strong feelings, but part of the strong feelings that I think people often misunderstand is that they think that everyone in the MAGA community are these dumb, stupid dolts.
Yep.
And in reality, that's not true. Of course, like any large group, there are such individuals and there are bad people in there as well. But even from my own time in MAGA, I was in that community for 7 years and they were my second family. And I talked to them every single day. There was not a day that went by for years. And a lot of the people I was close with, they were successful attorneys and professionals and worked in the world of finance. They had public sector jobs. They were Ivy League graduates, right? And I say this to others, and there's always this, a little bit of mouth agape look, like, oh, I didn't realize that there were people like that in MAGA. And I always say, well, I'm glad you're talking to us now, because it's important to know that intelligent, smart people actually can succumb to these conspiracies and these mythologies. And I'm hearing all over again, it's like the old maxim about deja vu all over again, Aaron.
Yeah.
You're talking about QAnon, and you're talking about the media consumed, and you're talking about videos and all of these other incestuous conspiracies, that there's this Appian way of conspiracies for those in MAGA, that just the destination tends to be that Trump is this person who is this political savior. And that feeling is real within the MAGA community. And I emphasize this word community because I just think it's so relevant to this discussion that people understand that. And so when you're watching your brother gradually and then suddenly all at once start to get subsumed into this world, the MAGA right-wing mythological world, his beliefs are sincere. He genuinely believes what he does, or the beliefs that he holds true and adheres to. He does in his heart feel that they're true. But there's a part of this that we talked about that I want to ask you now about, some of the dehumanization that manifests itself as a result of just falling prey to so many of these beliefs. If you can talk about that, because I think it's another really important point, that these mythologies, like they did for me, they do something to us and they change us and they make us feel that those who are not with us are these existential enemies. Your brother felt that way, feels that way now. It's how I felt as well. If you can talk about that, please.
Yeah, absolutely. It is so disheartening to hear the word illegals come out of my brother's mouth, and in such a derogatory way. These are fellow humans. These are people who contribute to our economy, who pay taxes, who are the backbone of our society. And to hear them called illegals is it's gut-wrenching. I have long been a ally of the LGBTQ plus community, and to hear trans people talked about in such a dehumanized way when they are just trying to live their most, to words you said earlier, fearless and brave self. For someone to get to the point of saying, I would like to start trans, or I am feeling like this is a change I need to make in my life to live my authentic self. And then to have YouTube guys and right-wing strategists take the trans identity and trans group and dehumanize them in such a terrible way just to mobilize voters is so difficult to watch. And I know for me, one thing that has been really difficult is knowing that the right-wing think tanks and talking heads will speak so poorly about especially the trans community. But then the think tanks will give interviews to the New York Times and say, we specifically put the trans issue out there because it stuck to the wall. It mobilized people. But then the talking heads will say, oh, don't listen to New York Times. They're terrible. They're terrible. So they give them their talking points, right, to go out and yell into the world. And then they give the real talking points to the media, who they then say discredit. So just watching the circle of how these dehumanizing points come out and become the political talking points it's fascinating, yes, but there are actual lives on the line. Mm-hmm. And I will say I can talk on any point on this dehumanizing part because it is you hit it on the head. I've tried every way that I can think of to counteract especially the dehumanizing part of this whole journey. I've tried compassion. I've tried reason. I've tried facts. I've tried sending that New York Times article and saying, look, here is the actual guy who said, we don't actually care about trans rights as a problem. That it's not a problem. We just know that it makes people mad. And so it's this constant state of panic.
Agreed. That, yep.
That is, it's, you know, the next, ooh, yeah, there they are again. Here they are. And they're mm-hmm. doing it again. And
that's right.
To live close to Springfield, Ohio, and to watch all of that unfold with, you know, the cats and the dogs and the geese, and to be on the Reddit page where the picture of the goose originated from, and to watch that person have their life uprooted because they posted that picture that then got picked up by whoever and turned into this whole mythology about people eating That's cats right. and dogs, when it was a man who was taking roadkill off the side of the road, being a good Samaritan. Someone snapped a picture because they thought it was weird, put it on the internet, and then it became a cornerstone piece of the debate.
Right. It was a key component of yeah. our presidential election talked about at the VP debate, the one debate with Vice President Harris, President-elect Trump, and the entire eating cats and dogs was started by a lady who knew that it was
new. False. Yes.
In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there. And this is what's happening in our country.
I realize that what I'm about to say could be construed by some as defending the lady who did it, but it's not. So I just want to say that. The reason that she didn't give second thought to doing that is because there is something about the MAGA and right-wing mythologies that actually truly do sever people from reality. And yes, intelligent, good people with integrity can find themselves over time detached from reality. Because I don't care, Aaron, I say this all the time when I champion empathy for those who are in the MAGA community. I don't care how intelligent or independent-minded or impenetrable one's mind is. If somebody hears and sees enough lies over time, they are going to start to wonder if they're true. And once they start to wonder, because they're just hearing them ad infinitum over and over and over again, it becomes a lot easier to start to believe these lies. And I know for people out there who are saying, well, I don't understand. I never believed those lies. How could anyone believe them? I would say to them, I give you credit for not shaping your life around a bunch of lies. But you said panic before. And I will tell you that when I was in MAGA, as the winning side, not the losing side, as the winning side in 2016, I still, along with my fellow MAGA Americans, felt constantly panicked in these perpetual states of desperation and despair and hopelessness. And, you know, even to use a fancy philosophical term, these feelings of nihilism. And that was us on the winning side. So imagine on the losing side, how all of that, all of the above there is just further exacerbated because now you're on the side where liberals and liberalism are winning.
The social media content reposted by the Republican nominee in the last 36 hours. How do you explain it? How do you explain why he is reposting content from QAnon and this misogynistic content?
Again, I will say I have not spoken to President Trump about that content this morning, and I don't think Americans are concerned with social media posts. But you said misogynistic. I assume you're also going to say that the posts were demeaning to women. I think what's demeaning to women is what has been allowed to happen over the last 4 years. I think what's demeaning to women is the fact that Kamala Harris and Joe Biden are allowing an invasion of illegal criminals into our country, many of whom have proven to be rapists and murderers. I think what's demeaning to women like Lake and Riley and Jocelyn Nungre and Rachel Morin is the fact that they are no longer with us because of the policies of this administration. And that is what voters and your viewers care about, John.
Well, look, I think the voters can care about a number of things. And when there's content being reposted that uses QAnon slogans, and when there are these sexist, misogynistic posts, it's interesting to me that you don't think they're bad. You have no problem with them.
I didn't say that. I said that I don't think voters care. I think that voters care about the, I said, I care about what's happening to our country right now. I care about the fact that as a new mother, baby formula is 30% higher and costs more than it did under President Trump. I care about the fact that we have a vice president today who wants to be the president of the United States that hasn't sit down for an interview in more than 40 days to explain her positions.
And she will be sitting down for an interview today with Dana Bash, along with Governor Tim Walz. And I just wanted our viewers to know also, because you have a history of this, of working the refs here. Obviously, Dana will do a great job, as you know, she always does. And we appreciate you being with us this morning. Carolyn Leavitt from the Trump campaign. Thank you.
Okay, so we know, Aaron, what your brother had said since 2015, 2016. What about this past election? What was he saying? What was he posting? What were you observing? I'm taking it by your laugh that it was some pretty absurd and outlandish posts, but what were you observing? What were you seeing that he was doing?
Anything and everything. Every marching order that was given. I mean, there were times where he would post 9-10 times an hour. You know, we knew when Greg was awake because he was parroting everything that was said by MAGA. I will say the one thing that really caught me off guard is the use of AI to depict all parties involved. So Kamala Harris, in many of the YouTube cover clip arts and things, was always depicted as screaming, crying, these dramatic black metal looking tears, and she was always raged. And what always also caught me off guard was they always depicted her with cleavage, which she does not do herself when dressing. So the hyperfeminization, but also the angry woman trope that was unfortunately persuasive to the right. But then on the other hand, you had Donald Trump, who was often depicted as a superhero, hyper-masculine, wearing a MAGA, kind of like Captain America suit, and has a shield, often has a trophy if it is him in his suit, images of the White House with the TRUMP letters being lowered because he's taking back the White House. Barack Obama also with those weird metal tears. Seeing that those images over and over again, that solidified that, at least for him and so many others, that's how they pictured Kamala Harris. That's how they pictured Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi. Anyone that you can think of on the left was given this caricature of rage and defeat all at the same time. They knew exactly what they were doing with those images. And pair that with what is being said, it is so incredibly powerful. Mm-hmm. And I will say very quickly, the one thing that really bothered me about how Kamala Harris was portrayed, I made the point to my brother that every time he put her down, he was putting me down. Every time he called her unqualified, he was calling me unqualified. Because if a woman can't run for president because she's unqualified, even though her resume is out of this world, things that I will never achieve, and that's okay. She's done it. But to say that she's not qualified, that she's stupid, that she's low IQ, that I could not dismiss the feeling of, then that's how he feels about me. And that was also one of the harder components of watching this election season.
What did he say to that when you made that comment?
Deflected it that he was talking about her, mm-hmm. not me. No. It took every ounce of my being not to sing "I'm Every Woman, It's All in Me." But but it's true. You put down one woman, you're putting them all down. That's how misogyny works.
You see, I think the deflection.
Yeah.
It does reflect that deep down there is a, as much as I might say detached from reality, there is still some recognition deep down that even when I was in MAGA, there were times that I criticized Trump privately with other MAGA Americans. And I always say MAGA Americans and not MAGA Republicans, because I feel like I want to be inclusive and talking about those I used to break bread with and would go to holiday parties, kids' birthday parties, etc. And the devotion to Trump, because again, for a lot of viewers out there and people I meet on a day-to-day basis, and they ask and they say, I don't understand the devotion. The devotion is really because Trump is the leader of this community. Mm-hmm. There has not been a community aspect on the right when it comes to politics. And even though MAGA itself is not novel and new, like you said, it's true. Not everybody in MAGA are racist and misogynistic. Most aren't. A lot have valid concerns. It's just that the ire that they feel, which is understandable in some contexts, their ire is directed at the wrong people in the wrong groups. And that's one of the successes of all those lies. At my vignette at the DNC that aired on night one, I said that Trump's toxic superpower is his lying. It's very, very difficult to compete against shamelessness and ad nauseum lying. Even for you as someone close to your brother, you're in competition with all of this, which gets me thinking something I always like to ask everyone who does these videos, both of those who leave MAGA and friends and family. In this context of this relationship with your brother, you had said that you'd be willing to share this testimonial with him. And I thank you for doing that, because he may have deflected that one time. It's going to be a little harder to deflect when he sees this. And we're not here to cast aspersions on him or pass judgment, right? We want to try to restore the relationship. But if you met Donald Trump in the context here of this, the strained relationship with your brother. What would you say to the president-elect? You could say anything you want. You could say anything you want about what's happened. I'm curious about what you might want to say to him. You know, let loose here. We're a family program, so, you know, keep it PG. But what is it that you'd say to him? I'm really curious about your thought process on this.
How much time do I have with him? I think I would absolutely have to start by saying, is this all worth it? Is this really all worth it to you? It's fascinating, right? You know, there's a common adage on the left where we say he's doing this to stay out of prison. And maybe so. But is it really, really worth it? And honestly, I would just have a lot of questions for him that I'm sure he would deflect. But I would like to know, you know, how did this start? I know that he wanted to run for president, but now there are so many obvious ties that are just dark, so dark. I want to know what kind of world he thinks he's living for or leaving for his son, for his granddaughter who spoke at the RNC, and, you know, lots of people went to social media to follow her and keep up on her because she struck a chord with them. You know, are the insults really worth it? Is this the type of person that you want your son to have as their doctor? Is this the person that you want me to have as my doctor, right? Like, how does he not see that his influence is impacting every single sector of America and not in a good way, right? So the influence has absolutely no bounds, and there's no depth to this entire orchestration that he has made. I honestly, that is a hard question, what I would ask him. It really is, because I feel like I'd be met with the weave pretty quickly. But I really think it all comes down to, was it really all worth it? Mm-hmm. Is it really worth it? I mean, he could be skating into a beautiful retirement right now, but no, he's not. And it's so frustrating.
And I've thought about that question myself, and depending on my mood in any given day, I may have a different answer. But I do feel like since I asked it, and I usually will ask everyone who does these videos, you know, I'll offer it here for viewers, that I think of all the possibilities of answers, the one that I would, what I would say to him is, I would say that I was very much devoted to the cause as someone in the community. But I would ask him what he thinks about the fact that I left with remorse. Mm. And have actually, we've created an organization, we're collaborating, getting to meet someone such as yourself and so many others as a result of leaving MAGA. You know, how might that make you feel? You know, he might say, I don't care. Well, I care. But I feel like that's why, and I if I had met you when I was in MAGA, I would have thought what your brother did. And so I'm gonna ask Aaron to put you on the spot, and I'm gonna say that after you get a chance to show this video to your brother, I'm gonna check back in with you and want to find out from you just how he took it, how he received this. And I've got a feeling it's gonna be hard for him to ignore this. It's easy to ignore statements and what's said online. So I just want to thank you for being here. I know that this is hard to do this. You are a strong and intrepid woman, and again, I know your brother deep down. I want to say to him, as he sees this, that I don't agree with a lot of the rhetoric that is said about he and other Trump voters. I think that there does need to actually be more of a dialogue between people who disagree with each other, but we also have to agree on basic sets of facts, and we need to move away from dehumanizing. And I don't think it's just the right who dehumanizes. It's not of equal frequency, but there's enough that goes around that comes from those to the left of Trump and MAGA as well. So just, it means a lot for us to be here with you and for you to be telling this story and this testimonial. Tell us where, Aaron Stinchula from Ohio, where can everyone find you on your social media?
Yeah. As a proud childless cat lady, I am Aaron Says Meow on pretty much every forum, especially Threads. Really loving Threads right now. So Aaron Says Meow.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate, Aaron, you being here with us. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Take care. Have you left MAGA, or do you know anyone who's got remorse about supporting Trump, or do you have a friend or a relative who's in the MAGA community? We want to hear from you. Be sure to reach out to us at leavingmaga.org. As always, we appreciate your guys' support and watching today. Thanks again.
Love this video? Make sure you stay up to date on the latest breaking news and all things Midas by signing up to the Midas Touch newsletter at midastouch.com/newsletter.